I mean, we recorded a podcast so that we could use the name of the podcast. We accomplished that goal.
I feel drunk when I say it.
This needs to catch on somehow. I don't know. Can we just put those words on a t-shirt and just wear them ironically to conventions?
Welcome to Rated NA, the podcast for the website nerdappropriate.com. This is episode number 192, and it's sort of a special one.
Yeah, it's special in the sense that Ash is not here.
He's not. It's just me and Scott. So I'm your host, Matt.
And I'm Scott, and we're just going to kick it for some amount of time.
Yeah, neither one of us really did anything super significant this week, but we didn't want to not have a podcast. And I mean, should we announce that you came up with the most brilliant name ever for this one as well?
Yeah, so I was in the shower this morning, and you know, we were supposed to do a podcast last night, and then some stuff came up and we couldn't do it.
Yeah.
And then it turns out that the reason Ash is not here is that he is going to PAX like you are, but because of the inclement weather in Boston, his flight got changed till today. So I think he's actually en route to Boston.
It didn't get changed. In an amazing twist of fate, versus his airplane experience out of Texas.
Yeah, right.
JetBlue called him apparently. It was just like, hey, Thursday's going to see a lot of canceled flights. Do you just want to move to Wednesday? And like, we're not going to charge you. It's free. We'll just put you on a different flight to Boston. And he was like, sure. They were like, all right, let's do it. So
hopefully he has a place to stay and something to do tonight. But he's not here. So I was in the shower this morning and I was like, man, what can we... And then all of a sudden, the title of this podcast came to me, and that is Ashless Chats.
I've almost said it wrong so many times.
Yeah.
It's so brilliant.
So this was at 6:30 in the morning, too, and I told you guys, I almost text you both at 6:30 in the morning to tell you this, but I waited until, afternoon, and I was like, we need to do something tonight.
And what's amazing is... people are going to get an insight into what 25 years of friendship is and how two guys can just carry 45 minutes of conversation about nothing.
Incredible.
Let's do the rundown.
All right. So we're just going to talk about stuff. I basically, we're going to try a format out that I always wanted to try anyways, which is just a list of topics. And we're going to go through the list of topics.
Yeah.
And when we're done with those, we'll see where we're at. And if we need to do something else, we have something planned. So we'll see where the evening takes us.
We'll see where that goes.
All right.
And this one is also brought to you by Loot Crate. Loot Crate's your monthly subscription service where you get a box full of awesome in the mail. And now I feel like I think I can officially spoil the audio reveal that Ash did last week.
That was great.
It was. But we got a new card game from Loot Crate. We got an exclusive... oh crap! What was the exclusive? Oh man, it just blanked on me. Anyways, we got a blank dunny to make our own dunny. There was just a bunch of gaming related stuff, and it was really kind of cool. But I was excited. They gave you a new deck building, card game to play. So we're checking it out with my wife. But
that's great.
So as always, you can go to lootcrate.com/ratedNA and use the code ratedNA. Get yourself 10% off your subscription and get a box full of really great nerdy stuff in the mail each month. And we highly love it. We honestly were doing it before they were ever sponsors, so we love having them as sponsors. And do yourself a favor and help us out in the process by going to Loot Crate and signing up.
Cool.
Who should go? Jeez. Scott? What have you been up to this week?
Hey, well, thanks. I appreciate you picking me first.
Well, you know, I thought it would be good.
Yeah, first of all, that's really nice. So, let's see. I spent the weekend with the mouse. So,
yeah. Do you have a permanent apartment there, or is it, do you timeshare with a bunch of other people?
Yeah, I do not. I mean, I think proximity alone allows us to go probably more than the average person does. And they really do rope you in, because I think we've slowly progressed through all the different ticket types year after year just by having the ticket.
It used to be just Epcot, right?
Yeah, we didn't even start with that. We started out by buying the 3-day ticket, which just allowed you to go 3 days in a row. And then we add, you know, we'd add to that park hopper or the ability to use it, you know, over a 6 month period, which you pay a little bit more. And then you add park hopper to that. And then all of a sudden you're buying Epcot after 4 PM and then a seasonal pass and so on. Right. So, it's spiraled out of control. I've said this many times. We're not like, there are some people who are sort of like Disney fans, like fanatics, but we are more like, I'm a Star Wars fan. My wife is a Muppets fan.
Right.
I like the retro future. So Tomorrowland and, you know, the Epcot, the front half of Epcot is really fascinating to me. So that's kind of what we get.
Was Damon Lindelof at Tomorrowland doing research? Or?
He was not. I actually spent very little time in Tomorrowland.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just because
I saw you guys did a lot of Magic Kingdom this time, right?
We ended up taking some photos, and that's where we were. And interestingly enough, we ran into our friend Mark. Former drummer for the band. Yeah, Mark and his wife Mandy and their lovely daughter, which was fun. So that was super cool.
Mark is involved in one of my favorite I'll try not to tell the whole story, but Mark is involved in one of my favorite tour stories of all time.
Okay, which one is that? Oh, I think I know where you're going with this.
It's the one where we were in New Jersey and we had driven to Jersey. We didn't have a show. We had a show in New York the next day, I think. And we went and saw a friend's band weirdly play in New Jersey. Like, they were on tour at the same time that we were. So we went to their show in Jersey. We left and we were going to crash at some random guy's house. And then you pulled like the most brilliant, like, oh, I'm getting a phone call. And then answered a fake phone call. And we're like, oh, no, Matt, don't worry about it. We got a place to stay. We got in the van and you're like, we have nowhere to stay. We need to figure out.
Oh, yeah. Because
the guy we were talking to was like a disaster, which is a whole other story. But so we left and we drove a little ways till we got close to New York and we got a hotel. And the dynamic of the band was very weird. My ex-girlfriend was in the band with us and you and my ex-girlfriend went to the hotel room. Mark and I went with you. We carried bags up. And then I was like, I'm hungry. I'm going to go get Wendy's. I see it's across the street. Mark's like, me too. And you guys were like, no, we're not going. And you're in the bed. That sounded weird. You're each in each the two beds. You were each in your own bed.
Correct.
We went to get Wendy's. And Jersey's weird. So, like, you can't get off the interstate right away. You have to do what they call jug handles, where you have to exit right and then, like, circle around. It's not even the interstate. It was just, like, a highway. But there's no left turns, essentially. And
right.
We had to do this whole loop around to get to Wendy's, and we order some food, and like I had the $20 in my hand, and it was sitting below the window, and the girl was like, gave us all our food, and gave us our drinks, and like we're broke because we're on tour, we had like $0, so we're sitting there, and she gives us all the food, and I'm like, okay, and then she's like, all right, and closes the window and walks away, and I still had the money in my hand, and I was just sitting there, and I was like. And I just looked over at Mark, and he was like, you better go right now. I was like, because the band was going to buy it, too, I think, for the night. And I was like, all right. And so we leave. And like it wasn't like they were waiting for our money. They literally like closed the window, left. There was no one there for us to hand money to. We would have had to just sit there and like bang on the window until somebody came over.
Right.
And it was like midnight, too. It was right when they were closing. So we leave and we come back. We're like, we are so amped that we have free Wendy's that we're going to like walk in and like be received as champions by the two of you.
Right.
And we open the door and I take one look at the two of you and I knew immediately you had been fighting possibly up until the moment we walked inside of the
Absolutely.
Hotel
That's
room.
Exactly what happened.
And I was like, free food. And you both went, eh. And Mark and I were like, we're going to eat it. Just like started chowing down on free food. And I think you guys begrudgingly took some fries or something. But
we did.
Like such an adventure night of like this not knowing where we're going to stay and then free food. And then you guys got in a like a half band fight. And then we walked in. And I knew immediately you had been in one. And I don't think you told me what it was until like years later, which is completely irrelevant to the story.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was just such a fun night. He's part of my, you know, he's got a couple stories that I love. But that's one of them that I always.
Absolutely.
Always,
yeah, he's the best. Mark is the best.
They have an adorable daughter, too.
Yeah, she's super cute. She's the best. Let's see. So it was crazy seeing him. I mean, they go all the time. I think they have an apartment there, to be honest with you. But while we were there, sort of, I guess, in the spirit, there was one night where like we were too tired to like really do anything. So we instead of going out back into the park, we watched Big Hero 6.
that's awesome. Does it just play on loop on the Disney TVs? Or?
It doesn't. Now, like, here's the other thing. The other awesome thing about this trip is that we took the Fire TV stick with us.
Oh,
and so we plugged it into the hotel TV, and we had access to Hulu and Netflix and all the stuff that we like to watch. Yeah. So instead of, like, you know, as a cord cutter, if you sit down to watch cable TV and you haven't had that for a long time, you're lost, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You have no idea what's going on. You're, like, watching reruns of Whose Line Is It Anyway at 10 o'clock at night. And it's like, oh my God, SportsCenter. I haven't seen that in forever, right? It's just, it's weird stuff like that. So we ended up watching Big Hero 6 one night in the room, which is super great. I think it was made by the same studio that did Frozen. And
It was the Disney, not Pixar.
Right. And the content, the ideas, they're like super cool. I think it's based off of some like source material, like a comic or something like that.
Is it? I'm not sure.
I think it is. I think I was like kind of reading something about it after the fact, but they changed a little bit, you know, so it was more, you know, appropriate for a teenage audience or whatever. I guess the only thing that I didn't like about it is that, like Frozen, I feel like it has some really strange pacing issues as far as like how the plot moves. But other than that, I thought the movie was great. It was really good.
Frozen, I'm still confused by. I get it that girls love it, like little girls love it, and little boys love it too. I mean, it's just like a favorite little kid movie. But there's like no real bad guy in it. Like,
sure.
There sort of is, like kind of, but not really. And then it's really just about, it's really just about two sisters and like their love and, you know.
Yeah.
Which is fine. It's just weird because it doesn't really seem to have a like climax in the more traditional Disney sense. Not that like it needs a prince or something, but there's like not even a bad guy for the sisters to really fight.
Yeah,
really.
It's a really kind of a different film.
Yeah.
But you know, Kristen Bell's in it, so
it's true.
Right there, right?
And Idina Menzel.
Yeah. I just want to touch her face.
Oh boy. Uncomfortable.
Yeah, right. So I got back from that and I started playing Dragon Age again, so hopefully I will finish it.
I have not picked it up. I'm so intimidated.
It is intimidating. I played about 50 hours. And I'm trying to do everything. I'm completionist.
I think I've played four.
Yeah, and I think, you know, honestly, I think if you wanted to ignore all the side quests and everything, you could probably move through the main storyline fairly quickly if that's the experience that you want, and I think that would be totally fine, but I have this problem where I can't not do some of these side quests, right? It's just like, so it takes forever. I feel like I'll be playing the game for 100 hours. Took me like 75 to do Assassin's Creed Unity with the DLC. So I know that I'm in for it.
Yeah.
And finally, I watched Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is back. Did you watch?
Oh, so good.
Oh, man. They really just know how to get you right back in, you know?
We may have to do another... We need to talk with S.H.I.E.L.D. again, because there just so much happened and was revealed in that episode. It was crazy.
It was bonkers. Oh, and the last thing, just because I saw your note, was I started reading Caliban's War.
Did you? Awesome.
Yep. So I finished, I reread Leviathan Wakes, and I just started Caliban's War.
So have you ever read the second one or no?
No, I'm like, now I'm starting, you know, and I also read the Butcher of Anderson Station short story.
Yeah, I read that one, and I read I read two or three of the short stories. They're good for like little filler novels.
Yeah, I'm reading them in like chronological order, so
yeah.
I didn't realize that Butcher came first, but I read that and now I'm kind of
there's no way for you to know that came first, but yeah, that's before like everything. It's how the OPA forms, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's like how Anderson ends up joining. Or, I mean, not Anderson, but what the hell's his name?
Fred,
yeah, that's how Fred ends up joining the OPA. So
yeah,
that's me.
So good.
Yeah, how about you?
I did not do anything significantly fun this weekend. Melissa worked, so I was like, I'm gonna clean. So I like just kind of cleaned the house all weekend long.
I think that's significantly fun.
Yeah, I got a lot of stuff done. I went to an uber hip barber shop to get my haircut, which, you know, this is a big deal. So the listeners don't. I mean, do you care if the listeners know that your wife?
No, that's fine.
Stylist. So your wife has cut my hair for, oh Jesus, a very long time. Like, yeah.
I don't think close to 10 years. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's cut my hair since 2000. Since 2005. Mm-hmm. Other than maybe six. I think Melissa maybe cut my hair for like a year somewhere in there, but So I was like, oh, I need a haircut. You know, I didn't know when I was going to be in Florida again next, like with time to get my haircut or anything. So I was like, I'm going to go ahead and go to this place, and it's cheaper. You know, it's recommended. I was like, I'm going to do this. So I walked in with an appointment for 5:30, sat down at like 5:25. At 6 o'clock, I asked, am I going to get my haircut today?
Oh my God. Wow.
I got this. It's super hip, man. Everybody there is super hip.
Yeah.
And the guy was like, you're next, I swear, man. Like, blah, blah, the guy's really behind. And I was like, all right. And I waited 10 minutes. I watched three more people get up and get their haircut before me that came in well after me. And I'm not like this at all. Melissa was so proud of me. I stood up, grabbed my jacket, and just walked out. I was like, there's no way. I'm not sitting here any longer.
Yeah,
and
crazy.
I don't even want to get my haircut now by these people.
Especially for someone not to come and say something to you, like, hey, do you need something to drink? Or like,
no,
hey,
one was saying a word to me. Nothing. Like, nothing. And it's just such a, you know, it's Brooklyn, man. Super cool. I should have just known that everybody's super cool. And like, it just was weird. Like, I know that when you go to a place that has multiple people cutting hair, that like, if you're assigned to one person, they don't necessarily let you like jump from person to person, but
correct.
You would sort of think that if one guy was way behind and there were other people like available, that he would be like, hey, do you mind picking up one of my guys? Like, I don't know who, he's a rando. Cause I don't know any of the people cutting hair. So I don't know, whatever. It was annoying, but I was proud of myself cause I stood up and walked out, and I never do that. But
for sure.
The next day, and I worked out that day. I got so much crap done that day. It was amazing. So the next day I get up and I'm like,
I was going to say, do you still need that haircut? Like, what happened?
I still do. I haven't gotten yet. I'll find somewhere else to go. So the next day I wake up and I was like a little tired. I worked out the day before and, you know, I wasn't quite as like motivated to go yet the day. And I went down a circle on HBO and started watching documentaries like left and right. It was a lot of Vice. Was watching Vice TV, which I don't love Vice, but whatever, it was okay.
Okay.
But I watched Citizen 4. Which is the Edward Snowden documentary that won an Oscar.
Oh, and okay.
Holy crap. Man. Like, first of all, watching it. So the way it was shot, essentially what happened is he contacted the guy from The Guardian that wrote all these pieces that ended up in the Post and everywhere else about what was happening in the U.S. and spying with the NSA. And when he contacted the guy from The Guardian at first, he contacted his friend who was a documentarian and said, hey, this is huge. I don't know what's going to happen. Do you want to film it?
Wow.
So this is not looking back on what happened. This isn't talking to Edward Snowden now, because you can't, actually. Mm-hmm. This is while he was releasing information to The Guardian and The Guardian was putting things up. This is during that period.
That's amazing. That's really
so
crazy.
It's crazy. And let me say, like, I read and kept up on all this stuff and was terrified by all of it. But watching it unroll over 2 to 3 years is significantly different than watching all of this information in an hour and a half. It's terrifying when you see what happened over those 2 to 3 years and what our country has been doing for the past 10 or whatever. Well, actually, much longer. But
like, are you saying it's... like,
it's
kind of scary to see it all happen to them,
yeah,
like knowing what is going to happen.
Not even that. It's scary to see what the NSA was doing in a condensed form, of the things that came out in that 4 year period. To see it in an hour and a half is just like, holy crap.
Got it.
And also knowing that Snowden is screwed, essentially. And he knew he was screwed. But watching him talk, I gained a lot more respect for him because I never really knew. It's hard to know, you know, whether he's into the glamour of kind of doing this or if it was something else. And he really wasn't. He really seemed like a guy that saw something while he was at work and thought, man, this is really screwed up. This shouldn't be happening. You know, became a whistleblower. And then the reason he outed himself and didn't stay anonymous was he said that he wanted more whistleblowers to understand that not putting a face to it means that people can kind of let it go under the rug.
Oh, yeah. I think the Daily Show did a little piece about whistleblowers recently as well.
Yeah, it was, man, it was great. I highly recommend Citizen 4. It was shot very well. It's interesting to watch. It's interesting to see him and what he's thinking because they talk about, like, we're about to put this out. Are you ready? And he was like, I guess. He's in a hotel in Hong Kong. His longtime girlfriend was still in the States. He was writing her to see what was going on, like, and there was a lot of weird shit happening to her that was like the rent checks stopped being accepted all of a sudden by the landlord.
Boy.
a lot of weird stuff started happening, and it's a really interesting documentary. I highly recommend it. That bled into this show, this new show on HBO called The Jinx.
Okay, what's that about?
The Jinx is a story of a guy named Robert Durst, who in
no relation to Fred.
No relation. He's actually from a very, 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 very wealthy New York family who owns multiple office buildings in Manhattan.
Oh, wow.
Buildings, not like little buildings, but like the Bank of America building, which is one of the biggest buildings in the city, they own outright.
Wow.
So he is one of the sons of this wealthy family. And in the early 80s, when he first started working for this company, his wife disappeared and was never found. And everybody assumed that he killed her, but there was no proof of anything. There was nothing to go on. So time goes by, and then in 2000, I think is when it was, he's living in Texas all of a sudden. He's married to a woman in New York still, a new woman, but he's living in Texas. And then not to be super gruesome, but the torso of his neighbor shows up in a river.
Oh, my God.
And turns out everybody thinks he did it. They go after him. I don't know much else, and I don't really want to ruin anything else in the show, but he went free. So there was a movie made about the first disappearance of his wife called All Good Things, and starring Ryan Gosling and Kirsten Dunst. And the director never met Robert Durst, didn't talk to him, and really didn't make the movie about the possible murder, but supposedly made it about the circumstances, this weird story, essentially. And Robert Durst reached out to the director, Andrew Jarecki, and said, would you be interested in doing an interview series?
Oh, wow.
And the dude is creepy. Everything I've seen, like when you see him, anytime you see him, even the old pictures of him, the new ones, the jail recordings, because he was in jail for a little while, there's recordings of him talking to his wife. It is the creepiest shit I've ever seen in my life. And it's basically akin to Serial, that podcast Serial.
Sure.
So it's like a murder mystery unraveling in real time, told very like high quality telling of this crazy dude and these weird circumstances around him. And the thing that got me hooked is there's a preview for it, and there's one of the Texas detectives who arrested him was like, yeah, they said something about, do you think he's guilty? And he's like, oh, I don't think he's just guilty of this murder. I think he's killed at least 3 to 4 people.
Wow.
And you're like, Jesus, like he just like everybody
so
around
creepy.
Him. It's a super creepy story. It's super weird. And Melissa and I got hooked, and we're just sitting there like staring at it. While we if they played the whole series, we probably would have not moved for 10 hours.
Oh,
it was amazing.
Yikes.
So we're only 2 episodes in, but another one that I'm really recommending, Citizen Four and The Jinx. Both of them are incredible, and you should watch them both. And then I've been reading a bunch. So when I used to, when I was commuting, I would put headphones in and listen to podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really bummed that I haven't been reading as much as I wanted to. And I finally was like, you know what? I'm not going to listen to podcasts. I'm going to read on the train. And so I finished Sybilla Byrne, which is the fourth book in the Expanse series.
Are you caught up, or is there already a fifth book?
The fifth book I've already pre-ordered, and it's coming out in July.
Excellent.
June. It's great. I still love it. It's probably my least favorite of the four.
Mm-hmm.
More because I feel like the way the third one ends is a way that the entire series could have ended at the end of the third one. And while I would have been bummed, I would have been totally okay with it.
But now there's a TV show coming, and it's blown
right.
up.
Yeah. But it's still great. It's just a different take because it's not as space opera-y.
Okay. That's fine.
It's more grounded in this one, but it's still amazing. And there's still some moments like they're just very good at writing like sudden action and like certain things that'll just be like, Jesus Christ, like they like hook you or you'll laugh, you know, like out loud at something that happens. And that book is still full of that kind of stuff. So Sybilla Byrne was great. Absolutely recommended that. And then I started a book that maybe you would be interested in. I don't know. It's called A Girl in a Band, and it's Kim Gordon's memoir from Sonic Youth.
Oh.
So it's her story of growing up and joining Sonic Youth and basically creating one of the most influential indie bands of all time. So
awesome.
So I've been reading that. I'm like halfway through that one, and it's like amazing how much if you read, you know, I guess I'm reading about an hour and a half every day, like how much I'm burning through books now, like how quickly I'm getting through them. So
yeah.
I love it, but yeah, I mean, I don't know. I felt like more, I guess. Yeah, I felt like more than I thought I did.
There you go. You did do fun stuff, see?
Yeah. Ash and I are going to PAX.
Like tomorrow. Or Ash is already there and you're...
Ash should be either there or on his way in a plane currently to Boston.
Mm-hmm.
And I get on a train tomorrow at 7 to go to Boston.
Cool.
And then we'll be hanging out. I've got a bunch of appointments, a bunch of stuff that I've never heard of before, which is great. I'm excited about that. I haven't done a ton of research on what big stuff is there. Have you?
I have not. And it's really confusing because I don't know if this has always happened, but GDC is also going on this week. Same time, you know, and then PAX is happening.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm really confused about what's happening in which place. I mean, I do think that you guys will see some really large titles there as opposed to PAX South, which is more of a sort of a indie focused event. So,
right.
I mean, I don't know. Like for me, the big releases that I'm interested in the short term are, you know, like The Witcher 3.
Sure.
I know you guys are interested in the new Batman game.
Yes. Wait, have you not played? You played City, right?
I played the first two.
Yeah. Okay.
I did not play the third one.
It was good. Not as good, but it
yeah,
was
I
good.
Think that was like one of those like an alternate studio made that game while the
I think
main
they
studio
knew...
was working on the next game.
Yeah, I think they knew that this one was going to take a long time to get right and would be next gen. So they were like, let's just get a title out while we can.
Yeah. So, I mean, in the meantime, I'm trying to catch up on my game pile. So I, you know, for me, it's like The Witcher 3. And so I don't really know what else is going to be there. But, you know, I'm always interested to hear about like the indie titles that you guys just like stumble upon. So hopefully there will be some good
stuff.
Well,
there's still, I believe there's still a BioBase, right?
Most likely, yep.
And there's Indie Mega Booth will be there, which is good.
Yes, that's always good.
I think Square actually is going to have a pretty decent presence this year. From what I read, I got a mailer from them that said they were going to be there, kind of in full force.
And you guys are going to be talking to the developers of.
Oh yes, we are. Of
what the hell's the name of it?
Why
Life
we
is
both
Strange.
Just blank on the name. Yeah, Life is Strange. We we got a meeting with them, which will be pretty awesome.
Yeah, I'm really excited to hear about that.
So I think it'll be good. You know, it's hard. I'm weird. I'm the weird one at PAX compared to the two of you are very businessy and good.
Sure. I know what you're trying to say.
I'm a little more off the cuff and go as I go kind of thing.
But that's good. I mean, I think that adds something to the interviews because you're just like, you know.
They're just wandering questions that make no sense.
Yeah. I think, but that works though. That works for people. People, I mean, those devs, you have to understand, they answer the same six questions, you know, repeatedly all day. And then you come in there and you're just like, oh, I like your shirt. And they're like, cool, thanks, man. They start talking about like some comic book or something, right? So that's all you got to do.
You know what else I like about PAX East?
Hmm.
Best food on property.
Oh, like the cafeteria at the convention center, the food court?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, they have a great food court with a bar.
They do. It's way better. Like, because for one, I don't know if everybody's ready for this, but we're not leaving the convention center.
You're going to freeze your ass.
We're going to be snowed in. It's going to be like 12 feet of snow on all sides of the convention center. So we're all going to have to be ready to just eat whatever.
Oh, man, that's going to be crazy.
Yeah.
That bar's going to be jamming.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I didn't even think of that.
Yeah. Oh, so, okay. Is that our PAX update?
Yeah, I mean, we'll see you out there. If you're there, like, hit us up. Like, do you tweet at us or
yeah, just tweet at NerdAppropriate. There's no nap. There's no nap this year.
There's no nap this year, unfortunately. We're working out details on how we're going to do some naps in the future, but we could not pull off a nap this year. But, we will pull one off at Prime, I think.
Things are changing. So
things are changing.
I'm gonna move the. Let's do this item. Whoa.
Sure.
Sorry about that.
That's okay.
It was announced today that Gigantic, the game that we played heavily at PAX South, the sort of the MOBA style third person action game, is going to be an Xbox One, Windows 10 cross platform
crossplay
game. Yeah,
that's good for us.
Yeah, that's exciting because I do play some PC games, but I don't spend a lot of time on my PC. I would say that we're probably more like console people,
right?
And we're not huge MOBA players, but I think with this. This can make a game that we thoroughly enjoyed more accessible to people like us that spend more time on the couch with the console.
Yeah, I think so. This might be really smart for them because it might introduce the MOBA to the console.
Yeah, I think there's only like maybe one other MOBA that's like, I think Smite is a game that's trying to make its way to console. But I agree. I think this is a good move. I don't know. I feel like based on what we've played, it might be challenging to compete against mouse and keyboard players with Gigantic.
Yeah, I mean, I get that because the twin stick is just, you know, historically slower than
as precise,
than a mouse
yeah.
and keyboard. Yeah. But I don't know. Part of me feels like I would be, I don't know. We're going to have to see. I feel like they'll tweak it. There's going to be constant tweaks going on.
You're right. And the whole game is not built that way anyways. So no. You could play a melee character and probably be just as proficient with a controller as you can be with a mouse and keyboard.
And I could also see like the sniper being able to sit back and twin stick. It would be fine for me to do.
Yeah. It's just a very fast game. So I'd be interested to see how it ends up panning out. So that's that. Let's see. At GDC this week, I believe, Steam announced the Steam Link and the
what
final design.
Steam announce this week?
Oh, what's that?
I said, what didn't Steam announce this week?
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Valve. Valve announced this.
Valve.
Yeah. So we'll start with the Steam Link and the final design of the Steam controller and the pricing. So both of those items are going to be $50 a piece. They should be available in November. So typical holiday time frame. The Steam Link appears to be a device that's sort of like your PlayStation Now, like a little box that you set up next to your TV, and it streams content from your main machine, in this case your gaming PC, and you can place the Steam Link on any of your televisions and get access to your games via in-home streaming. And as somebody that has used the Steam in-home streaming in the past from a computer to a laptop, I can say that it works very well. And
I haven't used the streaming, but I've used the big screen mode, which is phenomenal. I think their UI is fantastic.
Yeah, the big screen mode is great. I played that Sega game that I ranted to you guys about for a long time.
Right.
The one I said that was sort of like kind of like Mass Effect, but not really.
Yeah.
I played that in streaming, and it was like flawless. It was really cool. So. Hmm.
It's weird to think that a $50 little, it looks like a hard drive, honestly. It looks like a little portable hard drive.
Very small, yeah.
Is gonna somehow power through this. I know it's just streaming, but just, I don't know, it's weird.
It's surprisingly, it works, and it works really well, because if your machine can, you know, compress, you know, to get the video out of your computer, then there's not a lot for the receiving end to do other than manage controller input and put the video on your display, which is your television in this case.
Yeah.
They showed the final version of the Steam controller, which I don't know. It's kind of like a jalopy a little bit in my opinion.
Yeah.
Because they're trying to move, you know, they started out with these designs of like two like touch pads for your where the thumbsticks would typically be. And the original design had no thumbsticks on it, and you know, like that was never going to fly because there are games that are built for, Steam games built for Xbox 360 controllers specifically, because I would argue that that's probably the current prevailing controller for the PC.
Yeah.
You know, it's just to plug your 360 controller in, right? So it's going to be hard to get away from, you can't alienate all of those games that support that and go, well, now you need to use this like touchpad to control your stick movement. That's not going to work. So
it's not.
Yeah, go ahead.
They also announced a slew, I think 12 Steam boxes with a range of prices all the way up to like $5,000 or something.
I still don't
crazy
get that.
Like that.
You know, like an OS that is limited in the sense, you know, like you could literally buy a Windows PC as your streaming device.
Yeah.
And,
you could go buy, I mean, it's not going to be great, but you could go buy a $700 machine and game 90% of the games that you want to game, you know, and stream them for fine. But for $5,000, you can buy a Steam box made by Falcon that only does Steam.
not have access to an operating, you know, like a Windows operating system to install your apps, to play Hulu, Netflix, all that stuff. You know, there's just certain things, you know, you could build a home theater PC probably cheaper than the price of your gigantic Steam machine. But I guess if you need to play your games at like max resolution, then I guess
speaking,
that's what you're going
to do. Speaking of max resolution, before we go to the next thing, Valve, because there's a bunch of those that we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
But we talked a little bit about today on our little chatty program. NVIDIA announced a $200 TV-connected Android box that'll do 4K gaming.
Okay, so you're going to have to help me understand this, because in my brain, I still view Android as a mobile platform. So why Why do I need to play tablet games in 4K?
Well, it won't be necessarily straight up tablet games, right? Like they've moved a bunch of other games to Android and Linux, because Android's essentially a branch of Linux, so okay. you can kind of port things to it as needed. I'm trying to find a list. I know they announced a bunch of like launch games. They said they would launch with I think 20 to 50 titles. I don't remember.
Is this
I know
the
it's
new
a big
version
number.
Of the Nvidia Shield? This
it
box?
Is yeah. this. It's they're still calling it the Shield. But this is just a TV connected box as opposed to a controller with a tablet that
I see.
Makes no sense.
I mean, I guess it's the same question, right?
So they are saying they're going to launch with Borderlands, the pre-sequel, Doom 3 BFG edition, the Talos Principle, Metal Gear Solid Revengeance. So it's not like these aren't tablet games.
So they are full games. I guess maybe the only drawback at that point is that you'd lose the social network.
Yeah, I guess, right?
You know, so
it's running on NVIDIA's like own gaming platform and has its own store and all that kind of stuff too.
Right, so if you get this box and you get the pre-sequel, who are you going to be able to play the game with? I guess would be my question.
True. So, but for $200.
The price is right, for
I mean,
sure.
The price is like perfect for the list of games that you'd be able to play. I don't know. And then I think they announced that it would do Steam streaming, didn't they? Or did they not?
I don't know, because they do, you know, NVIDIA.
They do their
now.
Own like streaming thing.
Yeah, it's like that Shield streaming. So, you know, the last generation of this, or maybe what is now the current generation of the NVIDIA Shield, is like you can buy that controller that has the screen on it, right?
Right.
Or you can buy a tablet, which is like an official NVIDIA Shield tablet.
Right.
Which also can receive things that are broadcast from your main gaming machine. So, I mean, I guess in this sense, this particular box, is it supposed to be a streaming machine, or is it meant to run the games directly off the box?
Yeah, I don't know.
Because
to me, what it is for me, though, I guess if it lacks that Steam library, which sucks because that's where I have all my games. But to me, as a prospect of like, if I didn't have that, for $200 to get into some of these older titles that, you know, are going to run at 1080 essentially and sit on my TV, that would be nice. Like, I'm okay with that for that price point. So,
yeah, I just, like you said, I think it introduces a middleman in between Steam and you, where just getting a Steam box gives you Steam, period.
Right.
Everything, you know, anything that you want to stream that's in your library can be streamed. So,
yeah,
that's the tricky part, I think.
Yeah.
So it's
interesting.
That's a hard bargain to drive.
So are you going to buy a Valve Vive?
A Valve Vive? The HTC Vive? Vive?
Vive? Valve Vive?
So
Valve Vive.
Here's the thing, right? I'm going to do a little Nate, right? Here's the thing. You got your Valve Vive, your Samsung Gear VR, the Oculus Facebook Rift, and Sony, you know, the insurance company, Sony's Project Morpheus, right?
Yep.
So we've got like dozens of headsets, right?
And we're more to come. More people are announcing that they're getting into the game.
Let me tell you right now, the problem is not hardware. The problem is it is a psychological. There's two problems.
Yeah.
One, there's no games. There's nothing to do with it, right? So you can buy it. That's awesome. You have it. It works. They can tell you all day that it works, but until someone puts whatever.
It's weird because we can't deny that we do see games at PAX for Oculus Rift. Like, there's a bunch of them.
Yeah, you see tons of them.
But they all sort of come off as like VR demos. Like,
right. And the problem is that it is a psychological, you call it whatever you want, a psychological problem, a human factors problem, a user experience problem, whatever.
Right.
That is the problem, because you can't just take Doom 3, for example, and port it to VR and then go, huzzah, we've done it. You know, because that's not the problem. The problem is that you need to change your thinking of what a quote unquote game experience would be like in a VR headset. So, you know, Valve's talking about like, oh, you'll be able to walk around in this 15 by 15 foot space. Like, are you crazy?
Yeah, so
you know?
Valve's thing is, Valve's kind of coming at this as like a high-end VR.
Sure.
Right, because I think there's like the VR headset, which comes with like two 1080p displays in your face that has like 20 sensors on the outside. It's all built by HTC. It looks like it came out of Johnny Mnemonic. And
right.
And then you can also buy two motion controllers, and then also like another sensor that sits somewhere. Like, at the end of the day, it was some like $1,500 expenditure to have like all of the Valve VR, Valve Vive stuff mm-hmm. to like use it. So that seems like
it's crazy,
crazy high end. And then the Rift still costs like $500 or $600, and that doesn't include the machine to run it, right? And neither does the Valve one, by the way. None of these include machines running this stuff at all.
Yeah.
And then the only one that does is Project Morpheus, which feasibly I would assume runs off your PS4.
Right.
And then you use your Move controllers with it, right?
Yeah. Again, with that, you can buy Move controllers. And I think that you still might need that camera to track to track the wands, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
To track, I think,
to track the headset too, because there's sensors coming off the headset that are getting shot at the camera.
I believe that's how that works, right? So
this is just like, I mean, I say it every damn time. It's clearly not aimed at me at all. I'm probably not a gamer enough to invest $2,000 into a VR thing mm-hmm. at this point. And B, I just can't imagine being like, okay, Melissa, just hang out on the couch for a little bit while I put on this isolating mask that will not let me know you're in the room at all.
Yo, I'm going to check out.
I'll see you in a couple hours. You know, like, I can't imagine like parents being like, hey baby, you hang out. I'm going to put on a VR headset, and wife, you go ahead and make sure the baby doesn't kill itself while I'm like completely ignoring my family.
I'm going to go head into Ready Player One and I'll see you later. Right?
It just smacks of like early 20s. Like that's what it's really aimed at gaming wise. Now, again, I still will say that doesn't mean VR doesn't have massive implications in the world at large. I just think that gaming is still a weird... I'm just not getting it yet.
I don't understand
it.
Someone's really going to have to think outside the box. And I feel like the group that is going to win this war, this arms race to VR, is not going to be the hardware manufacturer. It's going to be the software maker, the developer who figures out how to do something useful with it in terms of gaming.
Oh, and don't you doubt that Facebook bought Rift to throw millions, if not billions of dollars at it with some of the best developers they have.
Absolutely.
Doing stuff. What I'm surprised is that while Google has tiptoed into it a little bit, Google seems much less interested in VR than all of these other companies. So
I mean,
it's weird to me.
I feel like in the short term, I mean, I almost feel like in the long term that the Microsoft's HoloLens, the AR technology, is probably more viable, you know,
for more people
than a full VR experience.
Well,
I think
Microsoft's HoloLens also has just kind of living room entertainment implications, though, too. Like movies that are all surrounding, you know.
Sure, yeah.
Could be a thing. Like Microsoft seems more room experience, whereas VR is much more of a personal thing. I think there are huge implications of VR. I could see it being massive in like the medical world, in training, in like a lot of things that make a lot of sense. And I can see it being a gaming thing, but I don't see it being, it's hard for me to right now envision how it's a world-changing gaming technology.
I think that's because the games that are made for the television are not the same kinds of games that need to be made for these headsets. And I think that sticking to that kind of thinking is going to limit sort of the viability of the full VR headset. So doing things like moving around when your body's not moving around, or trying to move around with your actual body in a space that you cannot see. People got mad when there wasn't enough room to set up the Kinect, you know?
Right.
And now you're telling people to blindfold themselves and then move around their living room to do things.
Right.
Trying to figure out those sort of like the human factors issues, then trying to sort out the safety issues from a consumer product standpoint. Like there are a lot of problems. And I just think that this is still something that's far away because.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
I think
like
we're cost alone puts us years out. Like, right. Because the Rift was the problem is that. Oculus Rift came out at a relatively low price point for developers of like $300 or $400, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Again, not including the system, so it's just the attachment that lets you do VR. And it was kind of shoddily made, and the screens were like decent but not great.
It was like prototype, very prototype.
It was very prototypey, and it still is modern. I mean, there's much more money behind it now, so it's looking nicer and it updates to the tech. But like what's happening now is, like you said, is an arms race. Now you've got Valve coming out, putting out like $2,000 worth of hardware, Samsung throwing you know, two 1080p screens because they cost nothing to Samsung to make that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, Sony throwing its full muscle behind it. So, like, Oculus Rift can't just still be the, hey, we're the scrappy young developers, you know, like.
And it's not always the company that gets there first is the company that is successful. That's not
and
always
And we might
true.
Not even be seeing the VR company that's going to blow it out of the water yet. Like, who knows? Like, it's really hard to say what the ultimate combination is here, but. Yeah, I think I agree. We're still super early. This is it. Just isn't. It's just not there. I just don't understand.
I don't. Yeah, I don't want to see hardware. I want to see experiences. I'm tired of seeing hardware.
But
it
I don't even
like nothing.
Experiences
to me at this
point. Is a weird way to put it because I feel like that's all we're getting. And I want to see. I want to see. I guess. I want to see an experience. I guess it is experiences, but I want to see an experience that changes the way I think about VR, not just an experience of like, wow, look how off-putting it is if somebody pushes you while you think you're falling down a mountain, or look how you react when you're doing this thing that, you know, look how scary it is when you're in VR and it's all encompassing, you feel like you're in the room, like, or even some of the art stuff I've seen where it's like they give a guy a girl's body, you know, and then he looks down and see, it's like it's mm-hmm. mind shifting, and I understand that, but I don't know the implication or the what that creates beyond that, I guess, is what I'm saying. I don't know.
Yeah, you need to see maybe something that changes the way you think about what is possible for gaming on a VR headset.
Sure. I mean, in the same way that the iPhone blew mobile wide open, because it changed the way you thought a phone, it became less about the phone, more about the experience, more about the things you could do on your phone that had little to do with calling someone, you know, like, That's a shift in how we were thinking about mobile technology at that point. So I don't know. We'll see.
Cool. So that was we talked about that more than I thought we would.
I have so many feelings about VR, man. I hold back every time because I feel like Ash doesn't want to get into it or talk about it at all.
Well, I mean,
but we're Ashless today.
Ashless chats.
It's really hard to say. I challenge anyone to say that.
Ashless chats. I say it very slowly so I get it right. Cool. Well, that was great. I didn't really talk that much about it. I definitely think it has a place, but it's not there yet. Some quick news. Apparently a new game was added to the EA Vault, Madden NFL 15.
Oh,
so before you had the previous Madden, which I think was called Madden 25, right? Because it was the 25th anniversary.
Yeah, it was the 25th anniversary.
Which I think would have been Madden 14 or whatever. So came out in 2013. So you get, now you're getting sort of quote unquote last season's Madden, I think, is available now in the vault.
Yeah. That changes over a lot quicker than I thought it would.
What's that?
That seasonal changes a lot quicker than I thought it would, because the next one doesn't come out till August. This one's only been out since
August.
Yeah.
But I mean,
right.
Like, at this point, the game has not a lot of value.
Football's over.
Yeah, because football's over and the rosters are not relevant
rapidly
anymore.
Changing right now. You want to talk about McCown going to... Did you hear about Shady McCoy?
No, what happened to him?
He's going to the Bills.
No way.
For a linebacker.
Wow. That's
and
crazy.
And that's been Scott and Matt's football corner.
Yeah, there you go. A little football talk. I know there's like at least two people out there that appreciate our football talk. But I'm stoked. Bucks are going to get a new quarterback, so that's good. I know.
We can talk about that later.
Yeah, that's we don't have to speculate because we'll just wait and see who they decide to pick.
Yeah, I know.
Then what will happen. The other thing in conjunction with the vault is the March releases for Xbox Live Games with Gold.
Yeah, I saw this. I actually downloaded the Xbox One game.
Yeah, it's surprisingly good. You get Xbox One is Rayman Legends. I've played the previous game.
What is it? Say that again.
Rayman.
Isn't it Rayman?
It is Rayman. Telltale Games.
You said Telltale, I think, 8 times on the podcast. It was really... I just let you go because I was like, this sounds so amazing. Telltale Games.
Tilltale? Tickle Time. Break me off a piece of that.
Damn it. Such a great office.
I know, that's really good. So, Rayman Legends for Xbox One. And then... You know,
I haven't played
a good
platformer in a long time.
Oh, this game is so
good.
Kind
of excited to play it.
It kind of, if you were building a continuum of platforming games, I would say that this game is somewhere in the space between your traditional Mario game and your traditional Sonic the Hedgehog.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because this game is built for kind of playing at a rapid pace. and sort of doing things like in a, like a Tony Hawk style. Like if you get in the flow of the level, you will be successful throughout the level.
I kind of put it in that Ratchet and Clank, you know, that era of platform.
Yeah, games. I mean, but they, I mean, I think this is one of those games that's made by Ubisoft's like artsy studio.
Yeah, yeah.
And so the music and the visuals are gorgeous, and this game definitely has a flow to its level design. So it's
You played it before, or did you pick it up and start playing it now?
I played the previous game, so the Rayman that came out for the 360 and all platforms at the time was really good, and I think this is just sort of a continuation of that. Really fun. And then on Xbox 360, you get Tomb Raider, which is awesome, the new Tomb Raider, or the old, whatever you want to call it now, Tomb Raider. And what is the other one?
BioShock Infinite.
Oh, yes. And the other game is BioShock Infinite, which is awesome. I mean, I've played both of those games. I don't really care that that they're free now, because I would feasibly play Tomb Raider again at some point. I never played any of the DLC for BioShock Infinite.
Yeah.
And I do think that in part they do release the games with gold, you know, maybe with the hopes that you will buy some of the DLC now that it's, the entire game is free.
Them. Even if you did buy the full DLC, it's like probably $15, you know, for like the whole kit if you want it right now.
That's a fair deal. $15 that they would not have gotten otherwise, and $15 I would not have spent otherwise.
Right.
To play some content that I probably wanted to play.
Yeah, I picked up NBA. You know how I picked up NBA during the sale? I played it a little.
Yeah.
Never fear, I am still terrible at sports games.
Yeah, but they're fun. See, when you can get a sports game not for $60, they're just kind of fun to play. I think I will play any sports game for $60.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Or for, I mean, whatever, for free $10, you know, when it's on clearance. Especially if you're not, you know, you and I follow football, right? So it's hard to go back and play an old Madden game, but... A game like FIFA, I like soccer, but I don't know anything about professional football as it is. So I'll just pick up whatever and play it. Hockey, golf, I don't care.
Yeah. Basketball, I mean, it's fun. I could see it being more fun with a friend and not just being me losing to the computer, sadly.
Right.
But it was fun.
Hi, I'm Ashley Birch, and you're listening to the Rated NA podcast at nerdappropriate.com.
So this next bit is sort of another short piece that I feel like could devolve into a longer piece, but it's not official, quote-unquote, but the rumor mill is going strong and basically official from what I understand, that HBO will be standalone on the Apple TV for $15 a month.
This sounds about right. I think HBO, if you were to get it through cable, would be about the same price.
It is, yeah. Mistaken. I think I pay. Well, the key, everyone, is to call and threaten to cancel your movie channels every 3 months. They will continue to give them to you for free, just because, or very cheap, because they do not want you to stop paying for things.
Do you? Are you at the point now where you can just call and go like, "Hey, look, I'm mad." And they go, okay, yeah, we got it, you know, 3 more months.
I just call. I'm just like, hey, I'm canceling HBO. And they're like, oh, okay, well, what if we give you all the movie channels for $5 a month? I'm like, all right, cool. And they're like, all right, we'll see you in 3 months. I'm like, cool. And I hang up the phone. Excellent. I don't even play anymore. Like, you don't have to pretend. They don't care. They just want to give you stuff.
Right. So HBO, you know.
So 15, that puts it at a premium, though. It's almost twice what Netflix is, right? Netflix is $7.99, I think, or $8.99.
Yeah. HBO through cable, at least for us in Orlando, is about $20.
Okay.
Yeah.
So $7.90, twice what Netflix is, twice what Hulu is. We don't know what any other channels are going to cost yet. So is this, did they overstep, or is it kind of like buying Nike shoes where you buy them for $110 because you know that it's Nike and you assume it's going to be good?
I mean, does this include live TV and on demand, or what is
I don't
this
know
offer?
If they announced, they don't have live TV right now on HBO Go, so I don't know if this includes live TV or not. I have a feeling it might, but I don't I don't know if that's the case.
Yeah. Well, I mean, arguably
they do minute air. They do like immediate airs. So like when Game of Thrones is airing on HBO, it gets like released on HBO Go at the same time.
Oh, so it's not like a quote unquote. It's like pseudo live. Basically.
Yeah, but I don't know if they have live streams of like the channel.
That's fine. I don't need live streams. I just need to be able to watch it when it's on.
Yeah.
So if that, you know, that's fine. So I guess, you know, if you want to look at it from the perspective of potentially a better set of movies and a higher quality of television show, you know, over what is available with Netflix, you know, it's a value proposition.
I don't know if it's a better set of movies.
Yeah,
but
I mean,
here's where we're getting into weird territory, because Netflix is a giant. They make billions of dollars. They're humongous in this field. And they've been spending a lot of money on having top-tier movie titles, on having top-tier content as far as House of Cards, Orange is the New Black. Like, they're not shorting this anymore.
Oh, yeah. That gap is closing very quickly with all the exclusive stuff that they're developing. They're making a new Pee-wee movie with Judd Apatow, right?
New Pee-wee movie. They got all of Adam Sandler's next releases. They have all the Marvel content coming out. Yep. Like, Netflix is not sitting back and waiting. They are making tons of content now, and it's all seemingly high quality. So it's interesting to me that HBO still kind of, you know, has the cable cojones to be like, you guys want Game of Thrones. We know you want Game of Thrones. We're going to charge you $15 a month. I also wonder if they know that they're more of a come and go subscriber base.
Mm-hmm.
So they know that, you know, April till August, when Game of Thrones is airing, they're going to make buku dollars, right? Like, everybody's going to be like signing up and paying for HBO for those 5 months. And then they're like, we know we're going to lose some people, but there's going to be plenty of people who just keep the subscription because they don't want to think about it.
So maybe their $15 is just accounting for the 6 months that you'll own HBO.
Maybe. I mean, honestly. Like,
and then in the end, you end up paying the same, right?
Like, do not underestimate how big Game of Thrones is. It is humongous and brings in a large portion of their viewership. So, so like, that wouldn't be shocking, you know? Like, that would be kind of
smart
on their part.
I mean, even like John Oliver's show doesn't run the full course of the year.
That show is so freaking good, man. I can't stop watching it.
It is ridiculous. Let me ask you a question. We're going to go off on a tangent real quick.
That's fine, because I love this show. That's the other thing I caught up on this weekend. I watched all of this season.
Okay, so for those that are unfamiliar, the format of John Oliver's show is like, so if you've seen The Daily Show, you know what that is. But this is more of a single topic show where he will go, right?
He'll start with a topic for about 5 minutes, and then he does like a break, and then he gets into the main topic of the show, which he'll run until the end of the show, which is about 20 minutes.
Right. And so he can really go into the weeds with a specific topic and sort of really go like off the rails. The show's only on once a week, so they've got the time to really invest in these like crazy show stopping numbers at the end at times, like not musical numbers, but there's always something crazy that kind of happens at the end,
because they don't have to manage guests, which I actually think is sort of brilliant, because they can talk about whatever they want.
Yes.
So they don't have advertising, so they can't piss off advertisers. They don't have on guests, so they can't piss off Hollywood, essentially. So they can literally say whatever they want about anything they want to say it about. It's kind of brilliant at the end of the day.
Right. So so now here's the question that I want to ask you.
Okay.
Should John Oliver be the host of The Daily Show?
No. I think Last Week Tonight needs to stay on the air for as long as I think Last Week Tonight is the sort of how do I want to put this? The well-produced NPR of TV.
Like, yeah, it is kind of like I do get that NPR vibe from watching.
There are things that he goes into that I think are like vitally important to how our country operates. Mm-hmm. And if he's informing, if he becomes a news source by informing people that this is happening, like the international smoking stories where he created Jeff. Did you see that one?
Oh yeah, that's insane. That stuff is insane. I think that's the last one I watched.
When you see him talking about it, you're just like, holy shit, is this really happening? You know, like, this is crazy. They sued Australia. Like, that's an insane thing to think about. A single company sued Australia and then had other countries sue Australia. Like,
yeah.
I think what he's doing can't be done on Comedy Central, which is what I was sort of saying.
That's what I'm saying. Would you trade his show to still maintain, like, because I don't know that...
I actually think that his show makes me feel okay with Jon Stewart not hosting The Daily Show anymore, because we still have, at least we have something. At least we got something out of, and actually Larry Wilmore's show isn't bad either if you haven't watched it yet.
Yeah, it's just a completely different format.
It's not Colbert. It's a different, it's more Bill Maher than it is Colbert or The Daily Show or Last Week Tonight. But I think that who I would love to see take over The Daily Show is Jessica Williams.
Really? That's, man, I never thought about that. But now that you say that, that kind of makes sense.
Yeah, I would absolutely love to see Jessica Williams.
She's young, so she can do the show for a long time. She's very sharp. And thinks quickly on her feet.
Yeah.
I think that's a great fit.
She's funny. She's got a great perspective, great point of view. Mm. I think that she would be a new sort of vibe for late night TV. I think it would be amazing. I think she'd be really great. But
yeah, is that not weird that I don't think that there are any female hosts
not
of
anymore,
late night
right?
television.
So there was Chelsea Lately's show for a little while, and there was I thought there was one more. I mean, honestly, I can't even think of one right now, but yeah, there's not, essentially.
Yeah, that's
every show that's opened up has gotten a male host. So
yeah. It was funny, there was I think there was an episode of The Late Late Show that was hosted by Lauren Graham.
Yeah.
Because
they've been doing rotating guest hosts right now.
Yeah. I think that's really funny. That's actually really cool.
If you want to see the craziest one of those, Adam Pally, who's a comedian, did one. And he had, Jean Ralphio. What's his name?
Oh, that guy?
He had him as his announcer.
Yeah, I don't remember his name, but I know who you're talking about.
It was just the craziest, weirdest late night show because no one knew who Adam Pally was. Adam Pally knew no one knew who Adam Pally was.
Yeah.
You've probably seen him. He was on Happy Endings, I think, that Casey Wilson show for a little while.
Uh-huh.
He's been on stuff. You might recognize him when you see him, but it's just a crazy 30 minutes of late night television. It's insane. But
that's hilarious. Oh,
but yeah, Jessica Williams.
He's in the Mindy Project.
Yeah, he is now. He's in a newer season add-on. He wasn't in it season one, I don't think.
Yeah, he was the new doctor that just moved to Texas on the Mindy
Project. Hilarious.
He's awesome. Yeah, I would love to see that.
But so Jessica Williams takes The Daily Show. John Oliver keeps his show. Larry Wilmore keeps his show. And then we have a triumvirate of great late night television to watch, because we do right now. It was weird to see Colbert leave, but Colbert's going to end up taking, late night. There's so many. It could be amazing to have Conan on TBS, John Oliver on HBO, Jessica Williams on Comedy Central, Stephen Colbert on CBS.
Jimmy Fallon.
I know you're a Jimmy Fallon fan. I'm more of a Kimmel guy. I like Jimmy Kimmel a lot.
That's cool. I understand.
So, I think seeing all of these, I think we would be in another late night, it would be another great era of late night television. So,
yeah. All right. Cool.
Anyways,
so that's
HBO.
That's HBO on the Apple TV.
I think they'll probably announce more platforms. Who knows? But they're supposedly launching with Apple TV. It's all very smoke and mirrors. So
true.
We'll find out.
True, true, true.
Last thing, I don't think you watch these, so this will be a very one-sided conversation. But
yeah, that's okay. I feel like the second thing I just don't need to watch, because I'm going to see it anyways, right?
Right. We'll talk about that.
Okay.
Community put out their trailer for their new Yahoo Screen show that's coming up, and it is crazy, I guess is the best word I can use for it, and looks hilarious, and everybody will have to go watch it. If you just go to, I think if you go to yahoo.com and look up Community, I don't even know how to get to this damn thing, honestly. screen.yahoo.com, I'm guessing.
I
right
think
now.
So
it is screen.yahoo.com, and the Community trailer is right there on the front page, so go there and check it out. It's wacky, and I'm 100% okay with it being on the internet, because I'm going to be able to watch Community at least.
It would seem that from looking at the promotional images for this show that Shirley left the show.
Left the show. Yeah.
Okay, so can we sidebar one more time?
Sure.
I think she is now on The Odd Couple. Did you watch the first episode of The Odd Couple?
I didn't know. Here's my problem with The Odd Couple.
Okay.
It's CBS, for one, correct?
Yes, I understand.
It's them trying to do 2.5 Men again.
But you know where I'm going with this, right?
But it's got, the best cast. I'm okay with the cast. I just don't... It's just...
I was going to say,
it's like the wrong intentions.
Will you watch the show just for Tom Lennon? That's what I'm trying to ask
I
you.
Probably will eventually watch it just for Tom Lennon because I like sitcoms and I love The State and I love Tom Lennon. So
I mean, I watched the first episode and I was literally laughing at the show, not because the show was funny, but because I like Tom Lennon. Like I genuinely like him, you know, I like his comedy.
I kind of don't want Matt, what's his name? Matthew Perry?
Matthew Perry.
Like, I don't know. I'll have to watch it before. I'm passing way too much judgment before I've even seen it.
He's very Matthew Perry, especially in the pilot.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like the same aggression I watch like Scorpion and The Big Bang Theory with. Like, it's just...
Sure.
It could be so much better, and it just is this like watered down CBS version, but, you know, whatever. I don't know what to say about that. But yeah, I haven't watched that yet, and I think she is on it, and she did leave. And there's jokes about how the whole show is white. In the trailer.
Wow.
Like about how the white people on the show are trying to push the black people out.
Oh my God.
And it's pretty amazing. And I won't ruin the rest of the jokes. There's a bunch of really crazy, amazing jokes that all feel perfect for the show.
Excellent.
But yeah, a lot of people did leave. So you'll have to see it to kind of see where they head and who they brought on, because they bring in a bunch of new people. And then the other trailer that came out actually today, I think literally, this is a brand new Avengers trailer for Avengers Age of Ultron, and it finally reveals the face of Vision at the very end of it.
Who is... Tell me now. So you got to do like Scott's...
Scott's Let's Learn About Comics Corner.
Yeah, let's do some of that. Who is Vision?
So in the comic book, I believe there's two origins to Vision, and I might be wrong, and Ash would probably correct me on this, but I'm going to go ahead and do it. This is just from my head, people, so... Give me credit, because this is 70 years of crisscrossing storylines.
All right, let's hear it.
Characters. So in the comic book, Hank Pym creates Ultron to guard the jail that they hold all the super bads in. Okay?
Okay, so far
and
so good.
So Ultron then, while he's guarding, gets like given an initiative of like, hey, you need to keep the planet safe. And then Ultron decides that, well, the problem with the planet is the people on it, and I'm just going to wipe out. It's the AI conundrum.
Oh,
right?
The typical, yeah.
Yeah. And this was like 40 years ago when they wrote Earth.
Of course, yeah. So that's super cool.
So they it's like, you know, I'm going to wipe out the human population. So Ultron goes bad. When Ultron goes bad, he starts creating versions of himself. And one of the versions he creates, the first one I think is called Vision, and it's a robot that is going to guard Ultron. And then the Avengers...
So he creates a robot to protect him?
Yeah, essentially. Like a buddy, like his buddy cop guy.
Got it.
That they're going to go fight the Avengers with. And the Avengers turn Vision to their side by like convincing him that he's wrong or something with Ultron. That Ultron's not actually out to save the planet. He's just creating more destruction.
Got it.
Something along those lines. And then Vision fights. There's another one, though, that I think... And I might be wrong. This might be a different character. But I think Vision... And a different storyline was created by this guy named Kang, who's like a future conqueror. He's from the future and he conquers the planet. And he blames Captain America that something went wrong and it was Captain America's fault. So he comes back in time to kill Captain America and he brings Vision with him. And then they convince Vision that Kang's wrong. But I might be mixing storylines there.
Okay.
So, but essentially either way, Vision is a robot sentry who's brought along by a villain and that the Avengers turn good.
Got it. Okay.
So we don't know what the story will be for the movie. And here's why I'm interested in these trailers that come out. I'm convinced they haven't shown us past the halfway point yet.
What do you mean? Like of the movie?
Of the movie.
Oh, sure.
I'm convinced that none of these trailers have revealed anything past like an hour in.
Yeah. Have you ever tried to like mentally go back and remember what you saw in a trailer where it actually took place in the film? It's usually like in the first 10 minutes, you know?
Yeah. Like I feel like they've become just masters of editing this shit at this point and being like, look, here's a thing. And then we're all like, oh God. And then like all of that'll pass in 45 minutes and it'll be a whole other storyline from there on out.
Yeah. Like what you see in the trailer has nothing to do with what actually happens in the film.
Like if we showed up and Ultron died in the first 30 minutes, I'd be like, whoa, okay. And then like, it was like a whole other movie. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised at all at this point anymore. But, the neat reveals in this one that are kind of cool, not spoilery as far as I know in any way. There's more Quicksilver action. There's more Scarlet Witch action. There's a little bit more of just the Avengers kind of sitting around and talking and more of the Joss Whedon kind of quippy writing stuff where they, you know, like I think there's a line where Thor's like, "Is that all you got?" And then it turns, and then there's like 1,000 Ultrons coming at them, and like Captain America's like, "You had to ask," or something like that. It's like classic Joss Whedon kind of stuff.
That's cool.
Vision's face revealed at the end. We get to see the Hulkbuster armor again, fighting the Hulk this time. So who knows what that means? You know, there's a lot of alluding to whether the Avengers are doing infighting again, but it's like, I don't know. I don't feel like they're going to just rehash that storyline from the first Avengers movie. I feel like they're going to do more with it. So I thought it was really interesting. It's really awesome and fun. I like superhero movies are great. I really have zero complaints about most of them. So
yeah, it's exciting. And if you're excited about that, everybody should be watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So freaking good.
So good, you guys.
There, we'll talk after the podcast.
We'll have to,
Spoilery, crazy spoilery, but I want to
see. It just came out yesterday, so we got to give people some time.
It did. We'll give you 12 hours.
Okay. So there you go.
There you go.
I think we did it. I think
this is good, right?
Yeah, we don't need to do anything else.
Nah.
I mean, we recorded a podcast so that we could use the name of the podcast.
Ashless Chats.
We accomplished that goal.
I feel drunk when I say it. Ashless Chats.
This needs to catch on somehow. I don't know. Can we just put those words on a t-shirt and just wear them ironically to conventions?
We can.
Yeah.
Ashless Chats.
Ashless Chats.
We're just going to keep repeating.
It's a good name. Come on.
Should I do the wrap-up or you should do the wrap-up? I did the intro.
Okay. So this was, let's see. This is episode 192 of the Rated NA podcast for the site nerdappropriate.com. If you need to get in touch with us, you can email us at Matt, Scott, or Ash at nerdappropriate.com. We're on Facebook/nerdappropriate, on Twitter at nerdappropriate. And hey, you guys are going to PAX, so we should fire up the old Instagram again.
We should. We'll be at nerdappropriate on Instagram.
Yeah,
we
are active on Instagram when we are at events.
Cons
and such. So now would be a good time to go follow Nerd Appropriate on Instagram, where we put things there that we don't put anywhere else. So
yeah,
if you
want
to know,
spread the love around the different networks.
Yeah, if you would like to see the full complement of the things that we are up to, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram are kind of like your trifecta, if you will.
Correct.
So what do we tuck into Nerd Appropriate on Instagram? Yeah, that's a real going back into the vault for our longtime listeners.
And hey, people still listen to that. I don't know. Every week we still get,
you know,
episode
I
number
back,
one listens, and I'm like, what?
I went back and listened to episode 50 recently, and it's I learned a couple of things. We can discuss those things later, but I learned some things about our show from episode 50, so that was pretty good.
We're still doing the same shit.
We are, but I know what makes that episode special now. I really understand it. So
all right.
So yep, I think that's it. You guys have fun at PAX.
We'll do. You're gonna hold down the base.
I'll hold down the
you're
Twitter
gonna get
wall.
Frantic messages if Ash starts getting too many tweets and can't get his phone unlocked to turn them off.
Oh my god, yeah, I remember that. So you guys have fun. I'm assuming there will be maybe an in-room episode and some interview episodes.
I think we were discussing some different formatting ways of pulling that off. But
okay.
Yeah,
that sounds
we'll
good.
Do something,
and we'll talk later. So you guys have fun. If you're going to PAX, have fun. And we'll see you next week.
See ya. It's really hard to say. I challenge anyone to say that.
Ashless chats. I say it very slowly so I get it right.
Ashless chats.
Ashless chats. Ashless chats. Ashless chats.